This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. 2 weeks and a day after Sandy hit the East Coast, life for most is starting to get back to normal. Most, but by no means all. For people whose homes were flooded or destroyed in places like the Rockaways or out on the Jersey Shore, life won't be the same for quite some time to come. And that's true for New Yorkers who live far above the high water mark, too. Tracy Samuelson checked in with Manhattanites still waiting to go home.
Beth Rice lives in a one-bedroom apartment in a luxury high-rise with floor-to-ceiling windows and river views. For $3,000 a month, she gets a kitchen she loves to cook in and enough space that she can read in one room while her husband's on the computer in another. But we are not in that place.
Oh, so this is it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting, right?
This is small. Yeah.
For much of the first week and a half after the storm, Beth and her husband hold up in a Midtown hotel that's maybe 90 square feet. For $160 a night, they got a bed that's about 2 feet from the bathroom, separated only by a frosted glass door.
It's not, let's say, soundproof.
When Hurricane Sandy sent salt water flooding through the basement of Rice's building in New York's financial district, it fried the mechanical systems and sent a strong gas odor throughout the building. Rice and her neighbors have been told it'll be at least 2 months before they can move back home. But even though she lives on the 11th floor and her apartment is completely dry, her renter's insurance likely won't cover her expenses.
As a renter, I would have never even thought that I needed flood insurance.
Rice recently moved to a different hotel that FEMA's paying for, and she's looking for longer-term housing. But according to Con Ed, there are roughly 65 office and residential buildings in Lower Manhattan in a similar situation. Rice knows that she and her neighbors are better off than many other people in the storm's path. Some will never be able to go home again. But for her, it's just not knowing when that's hard.
Some buildings were incredibly communicative, checking in with folks, you know, literally two or three times a day.
Lockhart Steele is the founder of a real estate blog called Curbed.
Other folks would go days without hearing from their building. And obviously, the folks who went days without hearing from their building got pretty angry, and a lot of them still are pretty angry.
Steele's site has been crowdsourcing information from tenants in roughly 24 affected buildings, including his own. He and his girlfriend are crashing on friends' couches while they figure out what to do next.
We've been planning day by day. We've just started moving up to week by week. And we have our eyes set on month to month.
Heather Hansen is in a similar holding pattern. She lives in the financial district with her boyfriend and two other roommates. But for much of the first 2 weeks after the storm, she commuted into the city from her parents in central New Jersey, 2 hours each way.
Welcome to New Jersey Transit.
I took things for granted. Going home and only having a 30-minute commute and having that spare time.
Now she's competing against everyone else who's been displaced by the storm and is looking for housing.
I'm looking at things online. I mean, none of the sublets are going to be like home. You know, we might find a studio. We might have to still get roommates, which is not really optimal.
Some buildings said tenants won't have to pay rent for the time they can't live there. And some renters can just get out of their leases if they want to find a new place altogether. But moving out of a high-rise with no electricity isn't exactly easy. Without the elevator, tenants' furniture and all their belongings are stuck up in their sky-high apartments. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.